Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Life study of Genesis today brings us to chapter 35, a wonderful chapter in the Holy Revelation. And to join us and help us get into it and enjoy it is Ed Marks. Ed, it's nice to see you back again.
Yes, it's good to be back for another life study on the book of Genesis.
Ed, we've had several programs recently that have focused on Jacob's dream in Genesis 28. Today's program is going to deal specifically with one item that appeared in that dream, the pillar, a very crucial part of this dream. I wonder if you would review maybe the components of his dream and say a little bit about the pillar for us briefly before we begin.
Yes, Jacob's dream in Genesis 28 was quite marvelous. In his dream, he saw heaven opened. And in his dream, he saw a ladder bringing heaven to earth and joining earth to heaven. When he awoke from that dream, he made a marvelous statement. He said, "This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven." And then he set up a pillar. He called the name of that place Bethel, which means the house of God. And in this particular message that we're about to listen to, we're going to focus again on the significance of the pillar. And I would just like to say a little bit about this from the previous radio broadcast. What we saw from Genesis is that Jacob took the stone, which he used for a pillow, and he set it up for a pillar after he awoke, after having this dream. And the significance of this is that the Christ on whom we rest and whom we experience constitutes us into a pillar in the house of God, which is the church of the living God.
Thank you, Ed, for that introduction. Let's join Witness Lee now with today's life study from Genesis chapter 35.
In Genesis, the pillar set up by Jacob was called the house of God. Now, following Genesis, you have to come to 1 Kings, because in 1 Kings, you have the temple of God mentioned the first time. And the first development of the seat of pillar is the 2 pillars in the temple built by Solomon. 2 pillars. 2 in the Bible is the number of testimony. Well, if you were there at the temple, right away you could see 2 pillars standing there testifying something. Even when Jacob set up the pillar, his concept was no doubt to have a testimony. And eventually, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, he said that testimony is the house of God. And we all know the whole temple standing on this earth was a testimony to God. And today, the principle is the same. The church is a testimony to God. In 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, the church is the pillar. This means the church as a whole is a testimony, standing on this earth, even in the universe, to testify something of God. So these 2 pillars in front of the temple standing there were a strong testimony of God's building. Then, in Genesis, the pillar was the pillar of stone. But in 1 Kings, the pillars were of brass. In interpreting the typology, we should all remember that bronze in figure signifies God's judgment. This clearly indicates if we are going to be pillars, I tell you, we must realize we are persons under God's judgment. And not only under God's judgment, you got to be a person all the time under your own judgment. You have to say like what Paul did, I have been crucified. Why I have been crucified? Because I'm not good for anything in God's economy. I'm qualified for nothing but death. We all have to say, Lord, have mercy upon me. In me, there's no good. This is why I have been crucified. Yet not I, but Christ that lives. In the same principle, 1 Corinthians 15:10 could be applied. Paul said, I am what I am, not by myself, but by the grace of God. By myself, I am nothing. By myself, I can never be an apostle. By myself, I can never be the minister of God's living word. But I am what I am by God's grace. I labored more than others, but it is not I, but the grace of God. This is the brass. In the temple of God, I tell you, the pillars are brass. The ones who bear the burden are judged beings. Not judged by others, judged by God.
Ed, the first mention of pillar in the Bible, of course, was chapter 28. You referred to it in our introduction today, Jacob's dream. And at that time, we had one pillar made of stone. The next appearance is in 1 Kings, where we see the plans for the temple. And now we have two pillars made of brass. What's the significance of this further development?
Yes, this is quite marvelous. And just as you said, this is a further development of what Jacob saw in his dream in Genesis 28. He set up one pillar made of stone. He called that place the house of God. But when we come to Kings, we see that there are two pillars made of brass. The first thing we have to see is that there's not just one pillar in Kings, there's two pillars. Two is the number of testimony. And so the fact that there are two pillars means that the temple of God is the testimony of God. Also, we see in 1 Timothy 3:15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and base of the truth. The house of God is a pillar. The fact that there are two pillars indicates that the house of God, the church of God, as the reality of the temple in Kings, is the testimony of God, expressing God and testifying of the riches of God. Also, this pillar is made of brass. Brass in typology signifies God's judgment. This means that we need to be people who are judged by God, all the things in our being that don't match Christ's divine, holy, glorious nature need to be judged by God and purified by God so that we can be His pure testimony.
Ed, thank you very much. In the upcoming section, Witness Lee is going to talk about the spiritual significance of several numbers in the Bible. So before we get into that section, I wonder if you would say something about the principle of interpreting numbers in the Bible.
Yes, I would say this first. We need to realize that God Himself designed the temple. He is the architect of this building. No doubt, this temple came out of His heart, even down to the minutest measurements. These measurements came from the heart of God. So we need to see that the numbers and the measurements in the temple are very significant. Our study of numerology is based on a study given by F.W. Grant in the late 1800s, and F.W. Grant wrote a book called The Numerical Structure of Scripture. In this book, he says the following, which I think is very significant. He says, "It is evident that the numerical seal is on all Scripture. And this is a witness of the Scripture's completeness and of its perfect inspiration. It's based upon the groundwork of F.W. Grant that we stand on his shoulders to get the light concerning the significance of the numbers related to the temple.
Ed, that's going to be very helpful. And we bid our listeners just stay with us, because the Lord will open up this whole matter and the significance of these numbers in the Old Testament. Let's rejoin Witness Lee now as he is discussing the dimensions of the pillars of the temple of God.
The circumference is 12 cubits, and the height is 18 cubits. 18 cubits is the half of 3 units of 12 cubits. In other words, 18 is the half of 3 complete units. And every one unit is 12 cubits. And 3 units, you all can understand, the very triune God who has been dispensed into us. This, number one, indicates if you are going to be the pillar, you got to be filled, saturated, permeated with the triune God. But regardless how much God you will be filled with, what you have is just a part. You could never have God completely. The very God who is in you is also in the brother right beside you. You are the most one half. You need others to complete you. You need others. I tell you, I need you, and you need me. Then circumference, a line of 12 cubits, compass either of them about. You know, you can't measure circumference with any ruler. Do you realize this? You need a line. Why it composed this way? The purpose is just to impress you with the completion, the perfection of your being mingled with God. If you put these three things together, the brass, the 12 cubit circumference, and the 18 cubit height, you could see Maya to be a pillar, you have to be a person all the time under God's judgment. And also, you have to be a person fully, wholly, thoroughly, accurately, perfectly, completely saturated with God. You have to be the brass, and you have to be 12 cubits. But regardless how thoroughly, how fully, wholly, perfectly, completely you are mingled with God, you have to realize you are just half. You need another one.
Well, Ed, we've seen some marvelous numbers, and Witness Lee has made a marvelous point related to these numbers of our need of one another. Can you develop this more for us?
Yes, we've seen from Brother Lee's sharing thus far that 18 is one half of 3 complete units of 12 cubits. This is very significant. The number 3, of course, is the number of the triune God. This means that if we're going to be a pillar in God's house, we need to be those who are filled, saturated, and permeated with the triune God. But regardless of how much we're filled, saturated, and permeated with the triune God, we need to realize we are not a complete unit. We are only half. This means that we need other brothers and sisters to complete us. No matter how gifted we are, how spiritual we think we are, we cannot be independent from the members of the body of Christ. We can use Paul as an example of this. When Paul got saved, he asked the Lord what he should do, and the Lord said, "Go into the city, and it will be told you what you must do." And then the Lord sent a little brother named Ananias to Paul. Without Ananias, Paul had no way to receive his sight. And he had no way to start his ministry. This shows no matter how gifted we are, how much we're filled with the triune God, we need the brothers and sisters because they complete us and they perfect us. Also, we see from these numbers, Brother Lee did mention the number 12. The number 12 is 4 times 3. 4 is the number of the creature. In Ezekiel, we have the 4 living creatures. 3 is the number of the triune God. This shows that man, as the leading creature, needs to be mingled with the triune God. And it's 12 cubits measured around the pillar. The circular dimension of the pillar is 12 cubits. To have a circle, you need to be very accurate and very complete. This means that we need to be fully, wholly, thoroughly, accurately, perfectly, and completely saturated with the triune God as we're depending on the other members of the body of Christ.
Nothing is wasted in God's revelation, is there?
No, everything in God's revelation is significant.
Let's return to Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study.
We come to 2 capitals. That means 2 caps. 2 pillars. Each one has a cap, a top covering. So meaningful. You can see 2 pillars standing here, bearing 2 caps, full of net of checker work. My. Net of checker work. And reeds of chain work. It bothered me for quite a long time. So I was forced to go to many, many versions. Eventually, I found out the meaning. Checker work is like today's trellis. You know, in your garden, you have the trellis. Checker work means design. Checker design, chain design, you have lily work, right, later on. The design was like a lily, and the design was like a chain. For what it is? For the growth of lily. This is the sighting to bear the lily. So, in a good sense, this is a net. A net to hold the lilies. Then this forms a reed. W-R-E-A-T. A reed is something twisted, bound together. Don't forget, this is all designed to be made with gold upon the 2 caps. What does this signify? Oh, I tell you, it burdened me for days. Look at the picture. This is intermixed and complicated situation. The responsibility that we pillars bear in the family, in the home, among the brothers, in the work, in the ministry, in the church, is always something complicated, intermixed. Many, many times we see, I like to straighten it. You can never straighten it. You straighten one, you got 3. More complications. This is our destiny. Okay, now we come to lily. Lily is a kind of living by faith in God. You have to live not by what you are. You have to live not by what you can. You have to live by faith in God. You must be a lily. Not existing by what you are, but existing by what God is. Your living today on this earth is up to Him. You and I, we all are not capable, but we live by faith. Not I, but Christ that lives in me. This is the lily. And we all know in Song of Songs chapter 2, the seeker says, I am just a lily in the valley. Then the Lord said, oh, you are a lily among the thorns. I tell you, no architect on this earth would design such a thing. A brass pillar, a gross lily. What concept is this? Brass pillar. bearing the brass caps upon which the lily grows. On the one hand, we are condemned dead brass. On the other hand, we are the living lilies. Amen. Condemned brass means what? Means not I. Lily means what? But Christ. Brass and lily. You have to realize this. My, we are just lilies here, bearing the impossible responsibility. In a kind of intermixed and complicated situation, full of checkers and teamwork. Telling the truth, you have to expect more and more complications. Don't say, Lord, reduce the complications. Take away the complications from me. I tell you, all the checkers, all the chains are the setting, the base for the lily to grow. When you come to my home, don't expect that my house or my family is that clear, that simple. I tell you, this is the beauty of my family. This is the crown, the wreaths. How about this?
Well, Ed, in this final enjoyable section, we have some complex patterns, but the outstanding feature may be something as simple as a lily. Explain this for us.
This last portion is absolutely marvelous, the revelation that matches our experience. At the top of the pillars, there are nets of checkerwork and wreaths of chainwork. This checkerwork is like the trellis, a trellis we would have in our garden or whatever. And the wreaths of chainwork, a wreath is something that's twisted and bound. This is a picture of the intermixed and complicated situation in our church life, in our family life, and in our daily life. If you're listening right now, you need to realize that it is very normal to have an intermixed and complicated situation. Now, what's so marvelous about this is if you look at the top of the pillars, you see this intermixed and complicated network. But this is the setting in which lilies are. There are lilies in the midst of that network of checkerwork and wreaths of chainwork. What this means is in the midst of our intermixed and complicated situation, we need to be lilies. As a lily, this means that we live by faith in God. We live a life not by what we are or by what we can do, but we live a life under the care of God, and we live a life by trusting in God. So in the midst of our intermixed and complicated situation, this is the setting where we can live a life by rejecting our natural life and living by Christ as our life and trusting in God for everything. This makes us a perfected pillar in God's building. Now, this is absolutely marvelous. Listen, this pillar is made of brass, and this brass pillar grows a lily. The brass signifies God's judgment. That means our natural man is judged. The lily signifies we live a life by Christ, of trusting in God. So the brass is not I. The lily is but Christ. Like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, not I but Christ. I just pray that in the midst of our intermixed and complicated situation, we would be lilies, not living by our natural life, but living by the divine life. Living a life of trusting in God and being under the total, complete, wonderful care of our Father God.
Ed, we began the life study of Genesis talking about how this was a book of pictures. What a rich, marvelous picture we've had opened up for us today. Thank you very much for your fellowship. I look forward to your next time with us.
For Ed Marks, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.